Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Part of Omaha Audio. Yeah, Cousin Sal coming to you Thursday night following World Series Game 4. Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. Babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me, as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
What a game. What a game. No hitter. Only the second in World Series history. The Astros, it took four pitchers to do it, but they did it. They put them down, really turned the momentum around after getting beat up 7-0 yesterday. Game four. Now they're tied at 2. I have to be the only non-Astros fan rooting for this team in the country. I mean, sure. I don't know. I really don't know any others, but what am I going to do, Bri? I have a 10-1 ticket on them from before the season. Dominant performance by the pitchers. And against Nola, they got him out of there probably for the rest of the series. I guess he can go a little in game 7. But wow, what a win for the Astros.
Well, yeah, look, Sal, if you have 10-1 ticket, of course you're going to root for him. I mean, I wouldn't even root for him if I had 10-1. But God, I hate this team. But it's so hard to get a read on this, right? You get 5 home runs yesterday by the Phillies. Then they get no hit today with Nola on the mound. It's tough to get a read. I really don't know where this series is going to go the next 3 games.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing. First of all, I would think, I don't know if you would agree, I think Phillies are lucky to be knotted at 2, right? I mean, in 3-5-0 leads, and they only held on to 2 of them.
That's fine.
The Astros did. So it's 2-2. And now, do they have to go Syndergaard game 5, Parlay Kid? Why are they going Syndergaard against Verlander? Why are they doing this? Brother Bri pointed out he's only pitched like 13 innings in the last month and a half or something. I mean, isn't Wheeler ready? When did he go?
I think he went Saturday.
Saturday.
So that'll be four days rest. That's his normal rest. So I can't figure that out. I haven't really read into it yet. We'll know a little bit more as the news comes out why that's the case. But if they can somehow win tomorrow, then I think then they'd feel good about it, right? I guess they're rolling the dice on it a little bit.
I think Sal said his velocity's been down, so they feared he was like being overworked a little bit, so they're cutting him back. I guess
now's the time to worry about that, right?
I guess the question is, does game 5 or 6 matter for him, I guess.
Well, you have to go up 3-2. You're going back to Houston, no matter what, right? So you have to go up 3-2, Harry. I don't know. I think they turned the momentum. Now, all these games seem different, that's for sure. Astros dominated game 2. Then the Phillies come home. Well, one thing that happened, though, is the Phillies lost in Philadelphia, which was tough to do. Hadn't happened in the last 2.5 weeks, right, Harry?
Yeah.
And now they have all the momentum.
Yeah, that was the first loss they had at home in the playoffs. Couldn't catch up to the fastball of Javier tonight. He was fantastic. And yeah, I mean, I don't mind Syndergaard going in this game, because give that a little extra day two rest for Wheeler if he in game 6 in Houston. I know it's going to be tough if they don't go down 3-2, but
I don't agree with that at all. Syndergaard, go up 3-2. Yeah. Who cares who's getting next?
Win game 6, and then it's games, and then it's winner take all after that. So if you win game 6 for Philly, you're okay.
Even all right. Well, I'm seeing on, might as well pick the game now. We're talking about it. Verlander, it's up on Caesars right now. Verlander's -160, Syndergaard +135. I'm going Astros. My pick was Astros -1.5 game. So I need them to win the next 2, but I'll be happy if they win 2 out of 3. That's my pick. Parlay Kid, what are you going?
My pick was Phillies. So if I think the Phillies are still winning the series, they got to get this game, right? They can't lose this game. So I got to take the Phillies at +135.
Yeah.
Let's face it. Not the Astros have not really hit the ball. Sal, they've scored all their runs, I think. I mean, look, 4 games here. I think all their runs have come in a combined 5 innings, like 1 inning today with all their runs. And that's enough. I mean, it's fine. But they're certainly not slugging the ball either. this yeah. series.
Well, they'll get five more in one inning tomorrow, too.
Well, that's all they need. That's all they may need. But it really doesn't matter when you score them and how you score them. But we've talked about this before. If you look at probably their team batting average, it's probably not great. Yeah. Neither is the Phillies. It's kind
everybody.
Of the same
I look at these numbers. They're all like 210. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, isn't it amazing what's happened? Yeah. Like, it's just now it's just so acceptable. But
I mean, Bri, Verlander can't be this much of a bum, right? He's got, even if it's on the road, he's got to go out there and win, right? They're minus 200 to win the series. I know you have the Phillies plus a game and a half, so you only need one more win somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned. I'm concerned right now about the Phillies, I guess, a little bit after being no hit. But Verlander, yeah, just continues to be so poor in the World Series that I hate laying the minus 160 here. I would almost prefer, yeah. I think I'd almost prefer the over under here. I mean, I know some of these games have gone under. I think I like the over 7.5 tomorrow, because between Syndergaard or Verlander, it's possible one of those guys or both of those guys get hit around a little bit in Philly. So I'm actually going to lean towards the over, because again, I mean, I've been wrong on the last two games in this series. I don't know, minus 160 on the road for Verlander in the World Series game.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, probably.
Although maybe he's just a game one bum. Harry, it's weird. Philly's plus 170 to win the series, but Bryce Harper, your Bryce Harper pick now is plus 375 to win the MVP. He had some bad at-bats today.
He just couldn't. I mean, he had some fastballs to hit. He just couldn't catch up. He was late all game long. A lot of the Phillies were, but I'm going to. Like Darren said, I took the Phillies too. I'm going to roll with Thor here. I mean, this might be it for him. He might never get a chance like this again. I think he's 31 next year. Who knows where he's going to be? This is the game of his life. Come on, do it for Philly. Do it for yourself.
All right. We've seen this. Guarantee Verlander's getting back there either.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen this before, though, where really teams that struggle with the bat, there's always seems to be a bounce back the next day, though. It really does.
Yeah. That is the one thing. One game has nothing to do with the other.
It really doesn't. So I don't see.
But they quieted the crowd. That's the one that I was like, oh, my God.
That's a big thing.
That's the one thing.
They really did.
So coincidentally or not, maybe they knew the Eagles play the Texans, another Philly-Houston matchup tonight, Thursday Night Football. Before we get to that, I do want to promote our contest right there on extrapoints.com/arcade. Our prop quiz winner, Eric Gatter. He got 8 right. No gold hat for you, brother Bri.
8. Again. I can't compete with 8. If you're going to get 8, I'm not going to win it.
All right. Well, listen, there's another way to do it. And there's the Pick'em contest, which we're all going to join. $100 up for grabs there. But also, Prop Culture is up and running right there. The November edition of Prop Culture. For instance, I'll ask the Parlay Kid this. How many top 10 hits will Taylor Swift have on the Billboard Hot 100 on 11/28, November 28th? Over under 6.5.
Oh. You should have asked Harry this. I know. I guarantee you, Harry.
Her next tour is up here in Phoenix, by the way.
I told you.
That doesn't get you the answer, though, Harry. It has to open somewhere.
I don't know. She's losing her edge. You're right. Her mojo. No, let's go. Take the under on that.
All right. I'm going to blow you away now, but you know how many she has out of the top 10 right now as we record? 10.
Oh, gosh. 10.
First time it's ever happened. She has all
she
10 in the top
sing.
10. He's a Katy Perry fan. All right. Speaking of fake, Harry, how many zombies are going to be killed in the series finale of The Walking Dead? Over under 75.5.
You got a coin? Over.
All right. Mikey Meatball says this is a fair number. I think he's the only one still watching this by 2.5 seasons.
Oh, man. I know. I gotta catch up. I think I only have 300 episodes to watch.
It's crazy. I asked him who was left, which characters. I can't believe they even survived, but I guess they have to be 3 at least. All right, NFL, 10 trades. Harry, who gets the dub of the trade deadline, would you say, out of all these? We saw Hockenson on the move, right? We saw Chubb, not Nick, but Bradley. What else did we see? So a bunch of impactful trades.
Look, I think the Bears get the duh. I know Roquan Smith wanted out, but that's because the Bears wouldn't pay him. The guy's been in the league for like 4 or 5 years. He leads the league in tackles almost every year. He leads the NFL in tackles this year. Why wouldn't the Bears, who have a decent defense, want to sign this guy? Since he's been in the league, he's done everything that the Bears have asked, and they wouldn't give him the money. They wouldn't sign him. I think that's the of the trade deals. And now the Ravens look like the champs.
I'll tell you why. Because they have a new GM, right? It's Ryan Poles in there, and he wants all the other guys out and his guys in. That's all.
Ultimately, you want to win these games. You want to get to the playoffs. And this is a situation where the Bears front office, again, are more dummies, and they're dummies and they're cheap.
Well, they're not cutting these guys, Harry. They didn't get
enough for Roquan Smith, who's probably the best defensive player in the league. That's my take.
Well, it is weird what they're doing. Then they signed Claypool, so it is kind of mixed messages the trade.
I don't even know what to make of that. I mean, I don't know how that's going to benefit really.
Well, certainly not this year. Yeah. Paulie Kidd, who gets your duh?
It's the Bears, but it has nothing to do with Roquan. It has to do with the Claypool trade. I really have a hard time understanding that from the perspective of since Claypool's rookie year. We know Pittsburgh's offense has been non-existent, but Claypool certainly hasn't helped it. I don't know if he's dynamic enough to help this Bears team. And basically they turn around and give what they got for Roquan right back for Claypool. It doesn't really make much sense. I think there are better guys out there. Claypool would have been a really good fit, I think, in Green Bay. Doesn't make sense to me in Chicago at all. That to me was the duh of the trade deadline, Sal.
This is a good practical joke. They're playing it on Aaron Rodgers, right, Bry? Still, can't get him in receiver, but it's unbelievable what goes on there. I actually think they need more help defensively than him latching on with the receiver. But anything jump out at you?
Oh, the dove of the day for me goes to the Raiders. I mean, not trade it. Trade away your players. Let's get some picks.
You gave the Cowboys that lineman, Hankins, right?
I mean, I get the Raiders don't have probably a lot of players that people want, but you could have seen what somebody wanted for Jacobs. I mean, I don't think Jacobs comes back. For as good as he's been, I don't think he comes back next year. So see what you can get. I mean, the Raiders are still holding out hope to make the playoffs at 2-5. I thought it was a bad job that they didn't unload some people even for some late round picks. You got to tell me that there's got to be some guys that some teams wanted. But I guess the Packers too. Mm. Like you're saying, the fact that they couldn't.
Yeah.
There were enough wide receivers, I think, that were probably available that they could have helped out. Right. I mean,
I guess I still could not tell you. I guess Odell is still out there, but I could not tell you what the value of a wide receiver is right now. I think I know what a running back is worth a little bit, but a wide receiver between Amari Cooper going for a five and now these lesser receivers going for a two, and then Christian Kirk getting $40 million. Like I don't know. I really don't. I can't figure it out. Daniel Snyder open to selling all or part of the Washington Commanders, which is good news. My friend Brad is coming to some money. I'm going to talk to him about that. Maybe he could part with it. But
the money's not gone.
Interesting.
Yet,
so. And I don't know. Yeah. Actually, I should check in there. 4-4 though. They're competing. They could be like the Raiders of last year. Like, you know, all this garbage going on behind the scenes and they just ignore it and win. Although they're in the toughest division. What are you going to do? I don't know. I don't know if they can get to the top. At the top, Philadelphia Eagles, 13.5 point favorite, 45.5 is the over under at Houston. This is the largest Thursday night football favorite of all time. Wow. I think Al Michaels is going to be doing Molly during the game or something tonight to stay interested. He must be so pissed at what's going on here. And they have packed every bit into this number. The 7-0 Eagles aren't fooling any of the odds makers who took a beating last week, by the way. The Texans are left for dead. So this number is as juiced up a line as you're going to find. Eagles, here's my pitch for the Houston. Eagles only 1-4 against the spread in their last five road games. I was down on Lovie Smith and this defense and how they let Derrick Henry, I know he's great, but the way he runs over all of them with Malik Willis at quarterback, couldn't break 55 yards. Passing is pathetic. More pathetic. They are more than they show up the following week, unless Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers. That's how it is. The more pathetic you are, you get there the following week, and you should. We saw what Carolina did. This is a short week. I don't see how or why the Eagles would get up for this.
Right.
Dameon Pierce has been solid. He's up there for offensive rookie of the year candidates. Davis Mills maybe cuts down on his mistakes, and they keep this close. Every game of theirs has been by 10 or less decided. Brother Bri, your Raiders was the one that got out of hand. Congratulations there, Bri, on that one. But I still think the Eagles win by 9, 26-17, parlay kid.
Yeah.
That puts it a little bit under, but 13 and a half is a lot.
Yeah, I'm with you on this, Sal. I don't feel really confident in it, but like you said, the only team that would have covered this spread so far against the Texans was the Raiders, and that's due to 21 fourth quarter points that they scored in that game. You know, we know that that game was the Raiders were actually, I think, down going into the fourth quarter against the Texans. So they've been a little bit more competitive than we probably give them credit for. They're still not a good football team, but at home, a short week, I'm not sure, like you're saying, how up the Eagles get. I think the Eagles will be more than content with winning this game by 10 points this week. So I think they'd be fine with it, you know, without getting guys hurt, getting out of this week, just taking care of business, you know, just being very businesslike. I agree with you here. 14 is a lot, especially for, you know, for the team here that's hasn't really gotten blown out once yet this year. So I'll take it.
Just the
I'll
one
take
time.
Like you said. And I think they'll run the, you know, they've run the ball okay. I think Pierce has a pretty good game for them here too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's right around 8, 9, 10 right there. 13 and a half is a lot. Bri, you have a different look at this. And I know you're going to have stats to support this Eagles first half bet.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Eagles at -7.5 in the first half. Look, I'm a little nervous back in the 13.5 on the road. And like you guys said, on a short week, I'm afraid Philly takes their foot off the gas in the second half, like they have done in pretty much all of their games, right? They've been dominant in the first half this season. They're 7-0 against the spread. They've outscored their opponents by basically 13 points on average in the first half. The Texans have been the worst team in football. So the Eagles should be able to dominate this game on the ground. And I don't see the Texans scoring so much. The funny thing was last week, right? You go from, I mean, right now you'd have to say Tennessee's, even though with Willis, they're a pretty, pretty solid team. And was that the easiest pick of the year in terms of like, I mean, that was a pick 'em game, but Tennessee.
Well, they won by 7, right?
Right.
What was the final score?
Yeah. Yeah, they won by 7, but I'm just saying for a pick 'em game, it seemed fishy that line, but you go from a pick 'em against Tennessee at home to getting 13.5.
That's when you play a real division. This is what happens.
I actually don't even add
14 every spread. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny because I don't even think maybe the Eagles and Tennessee, for as good as the Eagles have been, I don't know if they're 13 points better than Tennessee there. But I think they jump out early for sure in this one, and then they take their foot up the gas.
All right, Harry, you are going under. The under is 16-6 on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, under 45.5, Sal. I'll take that score of yours of 26-17. That'd be fine. I hope this is kind of a snooze fest. I think it's going to be. Houston's 31st in total yards per game, 29th in points per game at just 16 points per game. The Texans, 20 points or less in 6 of the last 7. Eagles opponents have scored in the 20s just once in the last 6 games. T.J. Edwards leads Philly in tackles. I think him and the Eagles are going to shut down Houston, just a couple field goals, maybe a touchdown. Eagles take it easy. Like Brian said, in the second half, take the foot off the gas on offense, and this game goes under 45.5.
Yeah, who's even the wide receiver? I know now I'm going against my own pick here, but Nico Collins is probably not playing, right? Cooks is pissed that he didn't get traded, right? He's questionable. He might just sit anyway, so you might be right.
That's a worry. That's a concern, right?
The Cooks. Yeah, well, when you start thinking of how they're going to move the ball and stuff, it's rough if both those guys are out. But take the points.
They could only move the ball against the Raiders. That's it.
Yeah. That was the only Atkins, thing. Just throw the Atkins, just a steady Atkins diet, the tight end there. I think he's their leading receiver. All right. Hey, let's give some love to Caesars. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer. Free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, let's do some props here. Damian Pierce, over 64.5 rushing yards. That's how they're going to get it done. Minus 121 on Caesars. Before last week's disaster against the Titans, where really nothing went right, Pierce hit this number six straight games over 64.5. Five games in a row, he's reached the end zone or 100 scrimmage yards or both. So good fantasy player just in general. Eagles overrated rush defense, just a tad. They're in the middle of the pack. Yeah. They're like 16th, 114.7 yards per game on the ground. That's what they allow. They got that big body Jordan Davis out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, you know, a little more daylight in the middle. I like Pierce over 64.5. He runs for 81 tonight.
I'm
going to
go with
a
kicking prop here. I'm going to take Jake Elliott, kicker of the Eagles, over 7.5 points at minus 145. Maybe two field goals, two touchdowns. That's 8 points. That would be perfect. Eagles are third in the NFL in scoring. He's missed just one field goal, one extra point all season. Kickers versus Houston have scored 8 or more points in 5 of 7 games this season. Like I said, 2 field goals, 2 extra points for Elliott, and we get a winner.
Do you just look for the minus 145 and up?
No,
and then you're like, all right, out of all these, this is what I like.
Tonight, because tell me. This game is a snooze fest. Hopefully, you know, I'm thinking because of the under, I don't like anything prop-wise. So I'm taking a kicker here.
I know, but it's always a high
number.
Always
a high number. My short tank paid plus 201.
Minus 145.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it did? Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you took two high numbers and put them together.
Game four plus hit for a home, you know, with a
that was
win
good.
Plus 200. Okay.
That was good. Yeah. All right. I'll give you that. All right. Speaking of high numbers, look at Harry's eyes right now. Nah, babyface, what's even, going on?
No, nothing. I'm no? Sober. Sober.
Hay COVID. Fever? Okay. Oh. All right.
Kill him. No sleep. Hey, no sleep.
I don't even know. I feel like there's like CBD was good for COVID. Like that's he just loaded
I'm
up.
I'm a trooper.
Like
Joe, I'm a trooper. I'm here. I shouldn't even be here. I should be sleeping. I got 4 hours the last 2 days.
You are.
That's true. All right, we'll get through this for you, Harry. Brother Bry has a rushing total over. Wow, that seems high for Sanders, 80.5.
Well, yeah, it just went down to 79.5, so I'll take that over. You know, Texans have been awful against the run this season. They can't stop anyone. We saw what Henry did, right? To them was ridiculous.
They're the worst. They're 32nd. Yep.
Jacobs the week before, they're giving up, the league worst, 186 yards rushing per game. 160 of those yards are against running backs. Obviously, the rest is probably quarterback driven. So if you had a running back going against them in fantasy, you better be starting them. Sanders is averaging 80.4 yards rushing per game, even though he's actually only gone over this number twice. They've just been so bad against the run. I think, you know, again, on a short week, I think they'll maybe rely a little bit more on Sanders in this game to kind of just get them through it. So I'm going to go over 80.5.
What is, Parley Kid, you have a different Hurts prop, but what Hurts rushing yards? Wow, that's high too. I guess if you're going against the worst team, against the rush, 41.5. 41.5 is a lot for a quarterback, right? Parley Kid with these, unless it's Kyler Murray.
Unless it's Fields. I think Fields has been crushing that lately. Yeah. He's been crushing that one lately. So, it's a little high, especially because that was my thinking, and that's why I'm going Hurts over 1.5 touchdown passes at minus 121.
You love this.
Well, you know, I love this bet, and I'm a sucker for it. But I also think that this is a game that maybe Hurts doesn't really have to use his legs for them to win this game, which wouldn't Philly love that if he doesn't really have to take off and run too much in this game? So, and I think this is a game where maybe Hurts can pad the stats a little bit, get a few short touchdown passes early in this game in the first half, and we got a winner. He's thrown 6 in the last 2 weeks combined. So I think he just keeps it rolling. And, manages to get 2 in this game. So that's all I need.
All right. I like it in the fact that I think one of them is going to come first. It's going to be the first touchdown. We're doing our first touchdown score right now. I mean, award winning. We cannot miss it. Who scored Monday? Chubb?
Nobody had Chubb.
Was he the first?
Crazy. Or
took the snap.
Home running backs that tell Harry to take it all the time.
Come on, Harry. Just do it already. Here's a road running back that's favored to score first. Miles Sanders, 4-1. Hurts is plus 430 to scamper. And A.J. Brown with a crazy game career day last week, plus 550. I'm not going with either of those three. I'm going with Devonta Smith. Harry, you know how it goes with the zigzag. A.J. Brown, everybody went nuts.
Yep.
We forget about Devonta Smith. He's going to get a touchdown the first quarter. Underrated. Top 15 wide receiver. Caught a TD against the Cowboys a couple weeks ago. He's had 8 targets a game for the last 5. He's averaged, you know. His target separation per man is 2.37. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but it's number 3 in the league, and it's pretty good. So I'm going to go Devonta Smith. It doesn't matter. I just lose on this all the time. Plus 675. Harry, give us a winner here. You are going the road with the running back.
I'm
going
to take Miles Sanders at 4-1. He's got 5 touchdowns on the ground this year. He's reached the end zone in 3 of his last 4 games, and he did have the first touchdown. You mentioned the Cowboy game, Sal. He did have the first touchdown of the game versus Dallas. So Miles Sanders at 4-1.
All right, there you go. Brother Bri, who's scoring first?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking it's somebody outside of these like first 5 or 6 guys in this game. But yeah, I'm going to go Hurts at plus 4. What is he down to? Is he down to 430?
Yeah, he went to 430.
Yeah, 6 rushing touchdowns in the season. Doesn't have any rushing touchdowns, though, in the last 2 weeks. I talked about a minute ago how bad the Texans running defense or rushing defense has been. I could see Hurts stealing a Sanders touchdown. He gets pushed into the end zone on short yardage. I think I'm happy with Hurts and Sanders here.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the record for rushing? What is it? Babyface 11 for Cam Newton? And Hurts has 6?
Yeah. Cam Newton, his rookie season, scored 14 rushing touchdowns. Hurts already
14.
Has 6. But like Harry said, I think Harry predicted he would lead the league in rushing touchdowns.
I gave out over 7.5. That seems like a lock, right? I know I gave out that.
No, could you say now he's going to get hurt against this pitiful Houston team? He'll have 1. He'll get you to 7. Then he'll get hurt. He'll miss the next 6 weeks. That's how that goes. All right, Parley Kid, Gainwell. Interesting.
Hey, well, look. You know, a couple of thoughts here, right? 1, Gainwell's 12-1. I mean, should be like 20-1, but whatever. It's just the way the odds are here. And I'm looking at it because I'm just, I, I'm just trying to make up some ground for us here, Sal, because if Brian wins this, and it's a great pick. I think it's a perfect pick with Hurts, but we basically almost break even here as a group, right? If he wins, like not even so.
And I'm just, break even, you know, for the night.
So
yep.
Part of me is like, we're cornering the market on the Eagles here. Like, so if, to me, I feel like if AJ Brown or Goddard don't score, we're going to hit this. I feel like, right? So Gainwell in 98 carries over the last 2 years has 7 touchdowns. He's got 2 on the year this year. I thought he'd be a little bit more involved in the offense than he's been, but maybe they throw the guy a bone in this game here against the Texans and they get him one early. So I do like your Smith one. I think I was looking at that really because that's my EP pick tomorrow due to that zigzag theory. 5 catches last week for 23 yards. 23 yards on 5 catches for Devontae Smith. That makes no sense. It's 4 yards a catch, basically. Over 51.5 yards I have him for tomorrow. Nice. So,
and especially with a target separation of 2.3. All right. I'll let that go. I don't even know what that means. All right. So that's that. Yeah. Do what you will with these first touchdowns. Yeah. I'm looking for a big number on that. You end up taking like Rex Burkhead at 26-1. Is that what we're going to do? Or Davis Mills at 26-1? His over-under is 1.5 yards rushing. I don't know. I don't even know who we would take. Brevin Jordan? Anyway. All right. We will let's take a quick break, talk a little more baseball, and then get out of here. Actually, before we shake up this baseball here, Brother Bride, big loss with the Knicks. My God, they blew a 20-point lead in 5 minutes.
So I had, that was my EP pick. I took the Knicks just to win. I had them on a parlay with the, I had them with the Cavs tonight, with the Bucks and one other. So, of course, the Knicks were the one team. They're up 23, looked dominant. I mean, that's as well as they played in the first quarter and a half. And then you could see it slipping away. I was texting with my nephews and Parlay Kid late first half, even though they were still up 9. I was like, it's only a matter of time before they're losing this game. Within a few minutes, they were down. And then all of a sudden, they were close to down 20, which is just amazing, being up 20 and then down 20 in a game. So that was just awful. I mean, they couldn't have been worse in that third quarter. I mean, they had 10 turnovers. Randall was awful again. I don't know.
You guys cursed him. You said he was having a good year, like 3 days ago.
It's the same stuff with him. When he starts putting the ball on the floor and he's dribbling and he's turning it over.
It's terrible.
That Hawks team has just been an annoyance to the Knicks for sure.
All right, Sal, I'm looking.
If I can add, it's funny because Brian and I both had them as our EP picks, and we didn't even discuss it. So we both liked them coming into the game. Just, you know, they've lost a couple tough ones. They blew a late lead against Cleveland on the road. But minus the superstar, and you guys know I was all in on Mitchell, Sal, if you remember going back, till like April, I was saying I thought Mitchell would end up with the Knicks. But that being said, and you guys know I'm a Tibbs fan, I don't know. I don't know if you can blame this on Tibbs. I think it's a perfect combination of blame on the players, blame on the coach. He's very stubborn with his rotations. Everything is by the book with him. Like, you know, he subs guys at certain minutes. Guys could be playing great, they get yanked. Guys could be playing terrible, they stay in until it's time really to come out. And what's really embarrassing, and the worst part about being a Knicks fan, I've said this for years, and this is a shame, and part of it might be because we don't have a superstar, but teams get more excited to come into the Garden, to play in the Garden, than the Knicks do. This is their home court, Madison Square Garden. It sells out. People spend thousands of dollars to sit in these freaking seats at MSG to watch a 500 or less team for two decades.
Ferrara,
for two decades now. He was benchside behind the Cavs bench the other night. Brian and I were texting him while that game was going on. That didn't help. Whatever. But
should he sit?
I was hoping he was heckling guy. I don't know. We were asking you, you're on these guys or what? But The Garden.
You can't blame Jerry or Tibbs, I think. I think those are the two guys you got to keep out of it.
Why?
But again, I'm looking at Trey Young's numbers. Like, does he get excited to be 7 for 22?
No, but here's the thing is, Sal.
I saw Murray. Yeah, Murray went
nuts. He went off, and it's amazing because he was another Nick target.
Uh-huh.
Guys, this – oh, why does everybody get pumped to play the Knicks? The Knicks have been a non-threat to every team in the NBA for two decades or more right now. What's it's the Garden is the factor. Beating New York is still a factor. And the Knicks cannot just, they can't match these intensity levels that these other teams bring to the Garden. The Knicks should never lose in the Garden. The Garden wants to erupt and root for a winner. The Knicks are just not giving it to them. And it's such a shame because honestly, Sal, just go look at the prices of these tickets at this at the Garden, and for those players, from the second midway through the second to the end of the game, to put out an effort like that is disgusting and shameful for that organization. I haven't seen what the coach or anybody has said post game, but man, people should be getting ripped from the coach to the from the ownership to the president to the coach. To the players. Yeah. Everybody's accountable here. They have to start playing better ball. They're better than this. They're a pretty deep team. They have to be better than this. They got to play with some intensity every single possession. Guys like RJ Barrett, not improving.
What if they continue to suck? They're like, all right, we're going to continue to suck, but we'll lower the prices. Would you be okay with that? I mean, they got to cut some kind of deal. I don't know. I'm looking. Tibbs at it must be some halftime speech. They scored 10 in the third quarter, I'm saying.
10 in the third quarter when you had already blown most of your 23-point lead at the end of the second quarter. You couldn't even get up for the third quarter?
Well, the third quarter's just been – how bad have they been in the third quarter for years now?
It's pathetic. So I cannot figure it out.
Maybe they need a new halftime. So honestly, it could just be all halftime. Maybe the women from The View should go in there in the Garden and give them a little pep talk or something. I don't know. Mix it up. Babyface, what do you think of all this?
Disgusting.
First of all, Parlay Kid is right, as usual, as he was with Ja Morant having an MVP season. He called for Donovan Mitchell before anyone to go get him, even go get him last year. He said they needed a superstar. Now we're looking up at Cleveland in the standings at 6-1. And Darren's right. Tibbs waits too long to call timeouts. These guys are exhausted. He already plays them too many minutes anyway. And now they've got to hire a halftime speech coach just to give a halftime speech.
Yeah.
And thank God for Parlay Kid. And now he's got to take the goddamn train into the city 40 nights.
Who should it be? Should it be the Parlay Kid? Should it be the women from The View? What other New Yorkers can we get up there?
Mario Bosco. We heard a great halftime speech from him.
Word is out that he has a good halftime speech.
I heard. I heard about it. I didn't. Did someone record it? Miniature friend wears a bow tie and does stand up.
Not sure.
Okay. All right, so the Knicks got to get their act together. Luka, by the way, is the first player. Did I see that right? First player to have 30-plus points in each of his first seven games? I think I saw that. Yeah, he's 3-1 to win MVP. Giannis right behind him.
Should we just take the two of those guys? I mean, I know we have the Murray and some of the others, but God.
I might do that. I might just do that. I don't know. I'm stalling here to see. Well, the Lakers aren't going to go final. They're up 5 with they're up 2 with 10 minutes left on the Pelicans. Good game, actually. Anthony Davis looks like he might make it to the finish line. The 1-5 Lakers lead by 2. That game will be over by the time you listen to this. What else do we want to do? All right, so the baseball, the odds are up. I'm going Astros, game 5. Parlay Kid, Brother Bri, and Harry are taking the Phillies with the plus money. I'm trying to see if any props have jumped up here. It's still Harper to win the MVP as the favorite, plus 375. I don't know. Syndergaard, too.
What's Bregman?
Bregman is, he was favored before game 3, right? He's 6-1.
Oh.
Tucker's ahead of him at plus 525.
He is, huh?
The two RBIs tonight, right?
I guess
There you go.
Interesting.
Javier 12-1.
I don't know. If he comes in a game seven situation, shuts down two innings, that might be all right. Something like that. All right. So tomorrow, Harry has threatened to give us his college football player of the year. You may remember he hit on his pro game of the year. I thought it was just his play of the year, but now we're breaking it down into sports and different levels. But you won with the Chiefs losing to the Bills. You had that. So it is, does it involve the Tennessee really game? Or do you not want to give that away? Okay.
Well, is Harry giving it out or is H. Dog giving it
that's
out?
That's a very good question. Interesting. Me and Joel have been discussing it with H. Dog as well. So we're coming up with something for the show tomorrow. We're not sure exactly yet. But me and Joel and H. Dog have been discussing this.
Wow. Now, is H. Dog also sick or is that just you? Is he going to sick? Is he going to be Fleming through this song? Like, whatever you do?
I don't know. We'll have to say.
I don't know. All right. Listen, Harry, you got to stick around. Because you have 17 days before the McRib makes a return. And I know how much you love that. November 20th and potentially for the last time, right? Is this your favorite limited fast food item?
I give it a 6.5 out of 10. 6.5.
It's not good. Nah. I used to love it, and I don't like it. And now there's a video going out there. It's out until November 20th. Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe this is the medicine you need. Right. Gotcha. there's a video out there on how the McRibs are made. And if you ever want to set foot in a McDonald's again,
believe me,
I'm trying to avoid that at all costs.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. If people don't know how the mashed potatoes and gravy are the greatest thing at Kentucky Fried Chicken, but if you knew how what went into making those, you'd be disgusted beyond belief.
Well, into the gravy, the even gravy mashed, and the mashed potatoes. Why?
Pretty, the gravy.
Oh,
awful!
Really? I mean, to me, it's like, are they real potatoes? Yes. Okay.
No, not really.
And they mash them. I don't know.
Well, I would think if I walked into a Kentucky Fried Chicken, I saw Harry working, I walk back out anyway. So it wouldn't make a difference.
No, he's not working. He's at the counter telling the clerk how sick he got, and that he would like $50 worth of free food from the last time he was there.
Oh, all right, man.
Well, I think Harry, Harry, can you send us the address to your new house so we can send McRibs before the podcast tomorrow? So you can eat them on the podcast.
New Perry. Yeah,
this is true. Like this is true, Harry.
I don't know if he's going to survive to see his college football player of the year come through or not, but there you go. All right, Babyface, anything before we wrap up?
No, I mean, I ate one on the way back. You know, I have a long drive back from the office. So I had to try it, and it was not the best. Let's just, I should have gotten
this was today? We talked about how you hated it. You just still stop for it?
Because I thought, you know, it might have been a different chef at a different McDonald's might have made it better. Yeah. So I stopped. And I mean, let's just say I took a crap of consequences. Did you see Heidi Klum's Halloween costume? That's what my colon looked like.
All right. Well, and that's what it's going to look like until November 20th.
That's funny.
All right. So that'll do it for another episode of Against All Odds. We will be back tomorrow to recap the Thursday night game and go over that big Tennessee-Georgia game and probably 6 or 7 NFL games. Not a great slate, but we're going to hit them all. Anyway, for Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping. Na, 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 na